Good morning, Rabbosai. Good to see everybody. Boker Tov. Welcome back to our Sunday morning Shulchan Aruch Evan HaEzer Shiurim. We are presently holding in Siman Yud Aleph. We've just started Siman Yud Aleph, and Siman Yud Aleph talks about a situation where you have a married family, and the woman is assumed to have been involved with something unfaithful. We don't know exactly what was involved with. We don't know exactly what was reported. It's just a chashad. So last week we learned about a sota, meaning if there was kinui and stira, she was warned to stay away from so-and-so, and she was found to have yichud with that so-and-so. Then she's put off limits, and she has to drink sota waters. Nowadays, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, we don't have sota waters, so she becomes aser le'olam vaed to both her husband and to the person she was accused of hanging out with. That's what we saw last week. This week is going to be probably something a little more practical. Hopefully not, but theoretically more practical. What I mean by that is, last week we talked about a sota. Sota has two specific requirements, where the husband gave the warning, stay away from so-and-so, and she was found to have yichud with so-and-so. Today we're going to talk about what do you do with a marriage where the woman was discovered being involved in challenging situations. I'll say it like that. If we actually have Aiden that a person was Mizana, then of course she's going to become usher to her husband, and she will become equally usher to the person with whom she was Mizana. But what happens if we don't know that she was Mizana, but we have indications or witnesses that she's hanging around in very close, very intimate interactions with men, but they don't rise to the level of edesnus. So is that enough? Of these intimate interactions with men other than her husband, is that enough for us to force her apart from her husband, and therefore, even if she wants to marry this guy she was being very friendly with, to say that no, she's off limits from that fellow? So based on the Gemara, we're now going to learn the Shulchan Aruch that will give us a list of about 8 cases that will be called what we'll call Dover Mechur. That's the topic of today's shiur. The topic of today's shiur is Dover Mechur, which literally means something ugly. That she was involved with something ugly, there are witnesses, and we'll have to see whether there were witnesses, whether it was one witness, whether there was a coal, whether the husband believes the witness that this happened, whether the husband doesn't believe. But we're going to see various different ways of reports that she was involved in a Dover Mechur. We're going to list off 8 Dover Mechurs right now. And we'll see the halachos and the parameters. What happens if she is reportedly having been involved with one of these ugly acts with some other man? Again, if there's a real act, real edim of znos, of real znos, then there's nothing to talk about. She's a sota. She's asur to her, she's worse than a sota. She's an eshes ish. She's asur to her husband and asur to the guy forever. But now let's see today's topic. Davar mechur. Aval says the Shulchan Aruch. Aval lo kadam kinui. Let's say the husband never warned her to stay away from so-and-so, which is, you know, most of the time. Ubo aleha edim shenistram eshezeh. And edim come and say that she had, you know, there's a guy, we happened to see that your wife had yichud with so-and-so. That's important. Is yichud enough to make a woman off limits? If somebody gets a knock on the door and says, you know, you just came back from work, we saw the plumber pulled up in front of your house and walked into your house with no one home and the door was locked behind him. Is this woman now off limits? Is this woman usher to her husband? If this woman now gets divorced from her husband, is she never allowed to marry that plumber? We'll see. Uba, and he comes and finds matza davar mechur. Kigon, for example, let's look at this list of 8 different ugly situations for which we will say that if there's strong enough evidence, we will make her get divorced. Number one. I'm sorry, I don't know if we're going to make her get divorced for these things, but if she does get divorced, we won't allow her to subsequently marry the man with whom she... One sec. We won't allow him to subsequently marry the guy that she was found to be doing this inappropriate activity with. So let's see the list of inappropriate things that will make is concerned that maybe something happened, and if they ever do, this marriage ever does get dissolved, she will not be able to marry this fellow. Number one, shenichnesu acharav umitzauha omedes me'al hamita. They come, the people walk into the house and see she's getting up from the mita, v'hila veshes hamichnasayim ochregeres ezor, and she's putting on her dress. Okay, this guy leaves, somebody walks in, the husband walks in, for example, he sees the plumber pull away from, you know, pull out of the front driveway, and the husband walks in and sees his wife, you know, getting off the bed, putting on her dress. O shematza rok l'malam e'hakila, we said that sometimes they have these canopy beds, and sometimes people would spit while they're involved in these activities. O shiro makom hamin alayim hafuchim, this is quoting from the Gemara, we saw that the shoe, there was a place of shoes flipped over, and I guess they had dirt floors, and he saw the place where the door shoes would be placed were upside down, you know, the mark on the floor, on the sand. I guess they didn't have, when they didn't have paved floors, the mark on the sand near the bed was flipped over. Why would somebody put upside down shoes? It must be there was a guy who has different kinds of shoes, different colored shoelaces, and doesn't want it to be noticed. Oh, shahoyu yotze mimakom eifel. The husband discovers his wife coming out from some dark place with this guy. You know, there are, you know, he's walking down the street, or down, you know, he's walking on a hike somewhere, and out of the bushes comes, oh my gosh, his wife and somebody else. Number five, omalim ze'ezem in habar. He sees there's a deep pit or a well, and he sees they're helping each other out of the pit. What are they doing in a pit together? Oh, shira'uhu menashik al pi chaluka. A husband sees some guy kissing his wife on her clothes. I assume, even on her clothes, I assume if it's on her, you know, on her cheek, it would probably be even worse. Osharu, that's what the next says. Osharu, osam menashkim ze'ese. He sees them kissing each other. Oshenichnesu ze'achar ze'ah, or he sees them go in one behind the other. V'higifu hadalsos, and they close the doors behind them. The next word is very significant. We're going to talk about it later. Bimman'ul, with a lock. So all these different things that the husband discovers. Now again, there's no testimony that his wife did anything wrong, but he discovers that she's been involved with all these questionable interactions with somebody. Again, there was no kinui, there's no warning, stay away from so-and-so, but there was some guy, he discovers his wife isn't, you know, something very weird. And this is not an exhaustive list. The Dayanim say this in our minds, they, you know, whatever creative situation occurred, the husband comes home and discovers it, and the Dayanim say, yeah, that's considered, in our minds, that's a davar mechur. We might not break up the marriage because it's not enough to, it's not testimony that she did something wrong. But the husband decides because of this to divorce her. If the husband divorces her for this kind of terrible, ugly interaction, harezu lo tinase lanitan. She is not going to ever be able to marry this man who she had that interaction with. So the husband sees her, his wife kissing somebody, being, you know, kissing somebody else, and divorces her because he's, you know, obviously some things are, that's not okay. So she would never be able to marry that fellow whom she was found to be kissing. Okay, now let's back up and say we're talking about very specific cases. We had a whole list of eight scenarios. What about something more common? Just a yichud, like the case I told you. Guy knocks, you get a knock on the door from your neighbors, and they say the plumber was here today, and he walked into your house. The only one home was your wife, because all the kids were in school, and we saw that the door was locked. And I even tried, you know, they said we tried the outside door, and the door was locked. There was yichud. My wife was misyached with another man. Do I have to divorce her? Or if I choose to divorce her because I suspect that things happened and therefore I don't want to be with such a woman who's going to be misyached with some other man, and I assume things happened, let's say. So if I do divorce her, is she going to be prohibited to marry the plumber because she had yichud with him? So here, the Beis Shmuel, the commentary on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, deals with what is the status of yichud. Is that considered a davar mechur, for which we're going to make her off-limits to marry this guy that she was misyached with? Says Beis Shmuel, im nisyachada im echad, Muteres lo ulabayla. Dekaimelon ein osrin al hayichud. Yichud is not as severe as the eight scenarios that we described that we called davar mechur. It's not as severe. And therefore, if a woman was misyached, you do not make her asr on her husband. And just like you don't make her on her asr on her husband, if her husband does divorce her because he had enough of this immodesty and promiscuity, and she wants to marry that guy that she was misyached with, she is permitted. Yichud does not constitute a davar mechur. But if he does divorce, but if there was a yichud, you know what we do? We warn her, or we warn him. Mikom akom. Mazhir noso, we warn the plumber. V'im be'emes ba'aleha asurlo. Afagav deleka edim. If the plumber was found to be miyachid with this woman, and the husband divorced her, not because he had to, but he chose to, and now we see that she's going to get engaged to the plumber, we tell the plumber, you should just know. All there was yichud. And if all that happened was yichud, you're allowed to marry her. But if anything happened during that yichud, if you were together with her during that yichud, you should know it's going to be usr for you to marry this woman, and you better call off the engagement. That's what we tell. We won't force anything. We won't force the breakup of the first marriage, nor will we tell the plumber that he can't marry her. But it will tell him that if you did do something during that yichud, stay away. Where do we know that from? That's from a story that we don't have to go into now. Now, let's say there are a day cure. We see a situation, one of these situations, let's pick a case. Let's pick a case that we see the husband discovers that they were kissing. But where did he discover that they were kissing? He discovered that they were kissing on a Ferris wheel in an amusement park. So, she's involved in davar mechur, she's hanging out with, this married woman is hanging out with another guy on a Ferris wheel, kissing on the Ferris wheel. They're kissing each other, but we know that there couldn't have been anything more than kissing on this Ferris wheel. It's impossible for them to have actually been together on the Ferris wheel because of it's a Ferris wheel that's going up and going all around and not stopping, and sometimes it's visible, sometimes it's not visible. So clearly all there was kissing. It's not that the kissing indicates that, oh, something else might have happened 5 minutes ago that I don't know about. You know, if a husband discovers his wife kissing some random man, as he leaves, the basement, maybe something happened in the basement. But if it was on a Ferris wheel, so we know that nothing happened between them more than kissing, do we say that this is called a davar mechur for which we are worried, okay, maybe right now on the Ferris wheel nothing happened, but if he's kissing this, my wife is kissing this guy on the Ferris wheel, maybe that shows that they did something previously or in some other time when they must have met up with each other? So on this, the Chalkas Mechot, the Beis Shmuel, quotes the Chalkas Mechokek, that's one of the other, these are the two commentators on the side of the Shulchan Aruch. Ayin B'Chalkas Mechokek, Misupak. He's Misupak. Kishyesh Ayin Chav is Edei Kiur. Edim, that she did something disgusting. One of these things on the list of eight things, for example, kissing each other. V'yodua, but it's known. Shalo Ba'aleha Ba'oso Pam. We know that this time, at least, it's impossible that they were together. Im chayshirin, are we choshesh because of this davar mechur that they're kissing, for example? Shema ba'aleh b'pam acher. Are we concerned that something else did happen at some other time? Is this like a raya? Is this like a simen? If they're kissing, if I caught them kissing, if the husband caught them kissing, so that's a proof that they probably did something some other time. And therefore, if I divorce my wife, then she will never be able to marry that fellow who I discovered her kissing. Or maybe I should have to divorce her. No. Says the Ram, says the Beis Shmuel, Miloshen HaRamba Mashma Delo Chayshirin Lize. The only time that a davar mechur, one of these eight disgusting interactions or inappropriate interactions, qualifies a davar mechur that will make her off limits from ever marrying this person whom she had the interaction with, it's only if it's possible that the davar mechur is indicative that there something might have happened moments ago. But if it's definitely true, like on a Ferris wheel, that even if they are kissing on a Ferris wheel, nothing happened moments ago, that's not enough to qualify as a davar mechur, and we will not require, we will not say she can never marry this man. So let's say The husband caught them kissing on a Ferris wheel. After that, he divorces her. What a terrible thing it is. She wants to go ahead and marry that guy she was kissing on the Ferris wheel. Mutter. That's how we paskin, because there's no chance that anything, even though something might have happened the day before, a week before, if she's kissing a guy on a Ferris wheel, there must be a history. No, that's not. If there's no edus more than that, then she would be permitted to marry this Ferris wheel friend, if we could call him that. What's that? That's an excellent question. That's going to be the Se'if in three Se'ifim from now. The Shulchan Aruch will say, I have it right here, that's two Se'ifim ahead of where we are right now. It says, wherever we obligate her to get divorced because of her inappropriate activity, she loses her ksuva. But if we don't qualify it as a davar mechur, like I just told you, if she's found kissing a guy on the Ferris wheel, and the husband says, what? You're kissing another man on a Ferris wheel? You're going to the amusement park with another man, and you're kissing him on the Ferris wheel? According to halacha, she doesn't have to leave her husband. And if the husband chooses to divorce her because of this terrible, egregious violation of their relationship, I don't know if he's patur. Maybe he still has to give her ksuva. Halachically, he doesn't have to divorce her. She might get her ksuva. That's a good point. If it would have been one of these davar mechurs, let's say he's kissing her, not on the Ferris wheel, but kissing her as they leave the basement, and the husband comes home and finds them coming out of the basement kissing each other. So then, since that there is a possibility of something that just happened, that would qualify as a davar mechur, and then she would lose her ksuva. That's correct. Okay. Now, I have a good question. I mean, I don't, but you'll see in a minute. Let's ask a good question. So it's not enough proof, because maybe it's nothing more than that. If there is the possibility that other things are going on, then but it has to be in that context of the davar mechur that was seen, that the davar mechur is just like the end of something that happened. But if it's just a davar mechur in a vacuum, you and I know that chances are, if they're kissing on the Ferris wheel, there might have been some other things, some other interactions weeks ago that are inappropriate. We have no edus on that. We have no sightings of that. We don't know anything about that. So you can't put halachas and ask her to marry somebody based on what you assume may have happened. Here we have this davar mechur, and it's a davar mechur that could be on the heels of some real issur that they did between them. Okay, let me ask you a question. You have a smart woman. She's not so appropriate, but she's very smart. And she says, I don't want to take a get. I don't want to get divorced. We know she's involved in this inappropriate activity, but she she wants the kids to still have a solid house. The guy she's married to is richer than the guy she's fallen in love with. And she wants the keys, she wants the money of the guy she's living with. It's not a great marriage, but hey, he has a lot of money with her present husband. So he says, I can't believe you would kiss somebody on a Ferris wheel, I'm going to divorce you. Or one of the real davar mechurs. He finds her doing one of these inappropriate activities, coming out of the bushes, coming from underneath the boardwalk with this man, and he divorces her. And she says, nope, not taking a get. I'm stuck with you, you're stuck with me. So Taka, we know that Chayr Rabbeinu Gershom tells us that you can't give a get to a woman without her willingness. Are we going to be able to force her to take a get? I mean, since Rabbeinu Gershom came around 1,000 years ago, we can't force women to take a get if she doesn't want to. If she wants to, that's fine. He could divorce her. But could we force such a woman who is found to be inappropriate with other men, severely inappropriate, could we force her to take the get, even though she says, no, I'm not taking the get? Says the Beis Shmuel, he quotes the Rambam and the Smag. The Baal Rashei Lehotzia Baal Karcha. The husband can be motzi her even if she doesn't want to get divorced. We do a balance. If, remember, these davar mechuras that we're speaking of, the husband doesn't have to divorce her. Again, if there's witnesses, testimony that she was mezana, the husband must divorce her. If there's a sota, meaning there was a warning and a yichud, the husband must divorce her. If all there is a davar mechur, the husband doesn't have to divorce her. If the husband finds her kissing, not just on a Ferris wheel, but mamish kissing as they walked out of the basement, the husband doesn't have to divorce her. The halacha that we're learning today is that, but if he chooses to divorce her, she will not be able to go ahead and marry that man. So, could he divorce her? Yes, and not only that, of course he could divorce her, but he could divorce her against her will. We don't force him to divorce her. But we also aren't going to say, I think you should keep her. Again, you're dealing with a woman, you're married to a woman who you can't trust. We're not going to say you should keep her. So we're going to say, we're going to sort of get, you know, remove our, the basement, we'll remove ourselves. We won't force him to divorce her. We won't say you should stay married to her. We'll just not get involved. I ain't betshuvas maharam, I'm not sure who that is. Afilu bizman hazed, ikachem rabbeinu gershom, yachol lahotziya. You could divorce her against her will, even though she doesn't want to take the get, if she was involved with this kind of inappropriate activity. Again, it's not an activity for which we obligate him to divorce her. He's allowed to stay married to her. If he thinks that he, even though she's not loyal to him, but for the kids' sake, you know, the kids are almost, you know, the kids are about to get a shidduchim. He doesn't want to ruin it for the kids, that this news should go public, and it's going to be hard for the kids. Let them get married. And then if he still doesn't like her, he'll divorce her 3 years from now, 5 years from now. So we're not going to force him. He could stay married to her. But if he chooses to divorce her, then he could force her to take the get, even if she doesn't want to take the get. That's an interesting situation where we don't obligate him to divorce her, but if he does want to divorce her, he could force her to take the get. Point number two. These two words are interesting. Ain't Tzricha Hasra. It's not this game. It's not like she gets three tries and on the fourth, three strikes and you're out. If she does this inappropriate, immoral activity, unloyal activity with some other man, he has the right to divorce her against her will, even without any prior warnings. She did it once. You know, it's over, buddy. That would be a possibility. Okay, so let's now. After we learned those were all side points. After we learned the various eight situations of what constitutes a davar mechur, where he assumes that she did something, he sees that she's doing something very inappropriate, and let's say there was yichud together with that, and he chooses to divorce her, so they're never going to be able to get remarried. It could be that if he divorces her, he might not be able to take her back, but I'm not sure. I don't remember. No, that might not be. No, that's for Nedarim and... maybe not. Yeah, the napkin means is that he could... she cannot marry the plumber. That's right. Vim Avar Vinasa, let's say the plumber married her. After all the terrible things, the plumber was found to have yichud with her, and they found to be kissing, walking out of the basement, the worst case scenario, davar mechur. And the plumber went ahead and married her. But they already are married for a few years, and they already have kids. V'hoyu lo bar mimena lo teitzei. We will let her stay with the plumber because they already have kids. We don't want those kids to be called mamzerim because they might not be mamzerim. She divorced her first husband after this terrible thing happened. She married this next guy, and she lived with him for 3 years. And all of a sudden, they're saying, you weren't allowed to marry the second man. It's true she wasn't allowed to marry the second man, but they're not mamzerim. So once their kids are ready, we'll let her stay with this man, this plumber, even though she shouldn't have married him in the first place. Okay. Now we're going to have some details of how founded these concerns are of this davar mechur. How do we know this? B'me dvar mamurim, kishiradanu ha'ir aleha, ve'al hanitan yom umechza o yoser. Now, when do we say that davar mechur counts, one of these eight activities counts to put somebody into the category of davar mechur, and once they get married, they're not allowed to get married to each other? That's only if, in addition to the Davar Mechur, it's a big machlokas Yishonim, but we're seeing how the Shulchan Aruch is paskening. If in addition to the Davar Mechur, there is also a kol that there was nus. Kishirananu ha'ira leha ve'al hanitan. There's a rananu means there's a kol on her and on this guy, this plumber. Yomu mechza oyosu, at least a day and a half. Ve'amru, and the kol says, ploni zina and plonis. V'lo pasek ha'kol, and this kol, this rumor has stayed. Of course, we want to make sure, if we need this, that there should be a kol, we want to make sure that there are no enemies of this couple who might be creating the kol. V'hu shelo hayu lo o labal oivim shemavir mesakol. Okay. What happens if there was no kol? All we have is the davar mechur, but you don't have a rumor that there was also a znus in addition. Avalam lo hayu hashem rino ledavar zebeir. There's no rumor. Or there was a rumor, but it fizzled out quickly. O shepasik hakol shelo machmas yira. It just fizzled out. Im nises lenitan, and she marries this other guy again. There was a davar mechur, and there were edim who saw her do this disgusting interaction, but it wasn't accompanied by a rumor that there was nus. If she married this new guy, lo teitze afil ein labanim. Even if there are no kids, the fact that there was no kol, if there's a kol, will take her out as long as there are no children. If there are children, we'll leave her. But if there was a kol, then, if there are no children, we'll take her out. If there's no kol, we won't take her out. If there are no children, fine. Says the Shulchan Aruch, afil ba eid echad shezin simo. What if you have one aid who says that she was mezana? She did a davar mechur, and you have an aid that says, and I saw a znus, real znus. The husband caught her, aidim testified that they were kissing as they came out of the basement. Okay, that's a davar mechur. And also, in addition to that davar mechur, there's one aide who says that 2 weeks ago, I actually saw real znus. That's not enough. One aide isn't going to do it. Okay. Fine. Now, I want to take a little break from the Shulchan Aruch and talk about a common case. I mean, hopefully not common, but a case that could happen in real life. Okay, a person's wife is on a Ferris wheel with another man. That's one story. What about a husband finds out from witnesses that his wife was hanging out at, you know, at 1 a.m. in a bar in Manhattan with somebody from the neighborhood, with a man from the neighborhood, or not from the neighborhood. Worse than that, what happens if their husband finds out that his wife was hanging out in the middle of the night on the boardwalk, on the beach, at 3 in the morning. They were on the Far Rockaway Beach. Now, hanging out in the middle of the night with another man, nobody saw them touching each other, nobody saw them kissing each other, but it's 3 in the morning and she's on the beach and she's hanging out on some street corner in the middle of the night with a guy, is that enough to be considered davar mechur? You see, all the davar mechurs that we had before is that it was coming out of a closed place. They were coming out of a well, climbing out of a ditch together. They were kissing each other, something more. What happens if they're just hanging out in the middle of the night? So this is a shayla, the Pischei Tshuva, that Rebbe Kveger was asked, unfortunately. It was a real shayla that was presented to Rebbe Kveger. When the Shulchan Aruch says that they were coming out of some dark place, on that, the Pischei Tshuva raises the following shayla. I am B'tshuvas Rebbe Kveger. This is the shayla. D'mashehed ha'ed, shebachatzos ha'layla, in the middle of the night, onda b'rechov ha'ir. She's in the street, im ha'nechshad. Is that going to have the same status as one of the eight cases? Let me just show you one of those eight cases was. This is one of the cases of the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Gemara, that he saw the two of them coming out from a dark place, like coming out from, you know, under the boardwalk, coming out from the bushes or something. So here, They're not coming out from anywhere. They're just on the street, but it's 3 in the morning. Is that called coming out from a dark place or not? That was the shah that Rebbe Kveg was asked. Somebody's wife was found, was sighted by Edim or by the husband on the street in the middle of the night with a guy. So it happens to be, says Rebbe Kveg, v'haga'onim haramazal v'siyata chasumim sham, there was a certain letter that the Rama and others signed. Dimu zelachir, they considered it, that this is considered a davar mechur. And this woman, if the husband chooses to divorce her based on this sighting of his wife with we'll call him Fred, in the middle of the night on the street, will never be able to marry. That woman will never be able to marry Fred. But the Marshal Kosval said, "The inzek kir la asra baila. This is not the kir that will make her asra to her husband. And b'makom ofel, it's only if makom seser meyuchela averli hisaser davar, lehester davar, a street." I don't care if it's 12 noon or 12 midnight. I don't care if it's 3 in the afternoon or 3 in the morning. A street doesn't constitute a makom eifel, because you can't do anything on the street. Makom eifel means they came out of some place that something could have happened. If they're hanging out in the middle of the street, it's not good. You know, we're not happy. But you can't call that a place that's eifel. In the case that we're talking about, where she's on the street, where she's standing on the street, she's in, like at the doorway, and there are over v'shavim gdola kula v'shom shalir. The police are passing by once in a while. That's not called the makom eifel. It's outdoors. Okay. And therefore, halach lemaisa, there's machagen, the ramasi to machmir, but Rebbe Kveger himself is mekel because of the svar that we just described. Now, we are going to take a 1 minute tangent and talk about one of the other 8 cases that are considered a davar mechur. The last case of davar mechur was that they went into a room together and closed the doors behind them. And then you see in parentheses it says, Rama, it's bimanul, with a lock. That's really a case of yichud, isn't it? They went into someplace private and locked the door, and closed the door behind them, and locked. Let's see what that happens with that word. But I thought, didn't we say at the beginning of the shir that yichud itself is not enough to qualify as davar mechur? Yichud is not something for which you break a marriage over. Yichud is terrible. I mean, if there is kinui and stir, if there was a warning and there was yichud, that's called a sota. But if there's no warning beforehand, so the yichud is not enough to asur a man on her husband, a woman on her husband. And it also shouldn't be enough to asur this woman on that person with whom she was miyachid. Otherwise, she wouldn't be able to, you know, again, a plumber comes into the house, locks the door behind them. They shouldn't have locked the door. I agree. They shouldn't have closed the door. They shouldn't have locked the door. That's what we're going to talk about now. But if they did, she's not allowed to, and the husband divorces her. She can't marry the plumber. I thought yichud is not enough. Here it seems, one of the 8 seems to say that they closed the door behind them. So it seems like yichud is one of the things that are asur. So let's figure out. Let's understand what this yichud is. And let's understand, and again, this is going to be a 2 minute sidebar, 2 minute tangent about, is yichud only with the door locked, or what if the door is closed but not locked? And this shayla, when I think I've given shir on yichud, some of you might have been my yichud shir once or twice over the past few years, is probably the most common shayla that comes up. When there's a case of yichud, which comes up very often in many different situations, it comes up with babysitters, comes up with cleaning ladies, it comes up with plumbers, so it comes up with going to the doctors, it comes up with psychologists and therapists, it comes up with all kinds of situations. Is yichud just closed doors, or does yichud mean that the man and the woman were behind locked doors? If you have a door that's closed but unlocked, does that save you from yichud? So let's see how Rebbe Kveger deals with this question, A, of what is yichud, and B, why is the 8th case of Davar Mechur that they walked into a locked place, but I thought Yichud doesn't aser a woman to her husband. So this was addressed by Rabbi Akiva Eiger. The Pesachet Shuva quotes, I am a Chuvas Rabbi Akiva Eiger, Shekosav, Dehavade Yichud Ba'alma Eino Bechlah HaKiyur. Just having Yichud, that's not a Davar Mechur that makes a woman off limits from ever marrying this guy, this plumber again. So then we have to figure out, so then what is the difference between Yichud that doesn't aser, and this case, this eighth case of Davar Mechur that is considered, it seems to me like Yichud. So why is it a Davar Mechur? And that Yichud doesn't reach the threshold of a Davar Mechur that puts her off limits. Regular Yichud that we don't say asers her on her husband or on the man. It's this case where they walked in one behind the other and closed the door behind them. It's just Yichud. Fine. So the Pesachei Tshuva says, or Rabbi Kveger says, that you know why this case is worse? This case that the Shulchan Aruch spoke of, where there it is considered Davar Mechur, it's worse than regular Yichud. You know how they got together in this room? It was more than just a regular Yichud. The case is, the shneim nichnasu tzufim ze achazeh. They walked into the room, one right together with the next. V'kolacha nichnas al das chavero. He walked in with her, she walked in with him. They both know they're walking in together. V'noadu yachtav, and they gathered together lichnos l'makom hazeh with the intent to go into this place, and they locked the door behind them. V'nikar de'aitzas zima b'nei. It's nikar that there's some intent of impropriety that's happening here. Masha'enkein, if the plumber knocks on the door, the woman's home. And she's been home all morning. And the plumber knocks on the door, and he comes into where she was already. It's not like they walked into a place together to hide out together. That's just called Yichud. And that's what's not so aser. Masha'enkein, again, it's aser to have Yichud, but it's not going to make her aser on her husband or aser to this man in the future. Masha'enkein, im echad, the woman sat home, and she gets a knock on the door. The plumber comes in. That's not so bad. It doesn't reach the threshold of a davar mechur, for which she's going to be off limits to ever marry this man again, and for her husband to divorce her. That's the first suggestion. Depends if the husband, if this man and if this married woman and this foreign man walk into a room together and close the door behind them. As if it's clear that they plan to do something, that would be clear. They rent a hotel room together, they check in and go into their hotel room together, this married woman and some other foreign man, that would be the kind of yichud that would be a davar mechur. A plumber, where she's sitting home and he just happens to come in afterwards, they don't come in together, it's not clear that they're trying to get into a space together where they could have their privacy, that wouldn't be yichud. I'm sorry, that would only be Yichud, that wouldn't reach the threshold of the Davar Mechur. Furthermore, this next svar is a little weird to me. Maybe it depends how quickly they close the doors behind them. Vashu Lomer Od, Debi'inan Gamkein Higifu had Lassus Miad. He walks in, she walks in, and then they close the door right away. Oh, that shows that something's going to happen. Aval Higifu Achasha, but if they close the door or lock the door later, Oshtayim, an hour or two later, Yeshlon Degamkein lo havikir. That's only Yichud, but it's not this higher level of, you know, if they had a plan to do something inappropriate, they'd lock the door right away. They'd close the door right away. But if they're hanging out inside and only a little bit later they lock the doors, that's not Davar Mechur, that's only Yichud. I don't know. Okay. So that's the chilukim that we have, that again, yichud, regular yichud is not a davar mechur, does not make this woman off limits from ever marrying the plumber. But if they walk in together, lock the door behind them, and it's clear, you know, like to a hotel room, then even though we don't know anything that happened, maybe they're just talking about, maybe it's just an accountant and they're going through the taxes in the hotel room, and nothing more. But that would already be a davar mechur, and we would not allow her to ever be with this, if they get divorced, if the husband divorces his wife, we would not allow her to be with this man ever again. Now, we mentioned, as we were talking about this scenario, that the door was locked. Now, it happens to be that if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, when it talked about this eighth case, they went into a room and they closed the doors, and that you see that word b'manul is in brackets, in parentheses, and in the after the parentheses it says Beis Yosef b'shem Tshuvas HaRashba. The Rashba is the one who says that Yichud, and now I'm expanding the Shaila from talking about this Sugyan Evan Ha'ezer to my life and to your life. Regular life, regular Jewish people, you have a situation of Yichud with any of the scenarios that I said before. Does the door have to be locked in order to constitute Yichud, or even just closed doors? With a cleaning lady, with a babysitter, with a therapist, with a doctor. Is that considered a closed door also Yichud? So the Rashba says that the issue here is only if it's going to be b'manul. That's a quote from the Rashba. The Rashba says explicitly the Tshuvas that only if the doors are locked does it constitute Yichud. And therefore, again, nothing to do with the sugya that we're dealing with in Evan HaEfzer, but in general, if I'm going to be in a house and the babysitter will be there, or the plumber comes in and my wife closes the door behind the plumber, and the plumber fixes the, you know, whatever leaky toilet or bathtub that he finds. If it's that door is not locked, says Rashba, it's not locked. It's not called Yichud. And that's a very important kula. The Shitas HaRashba, that seems to be, at least in the parentheses in this line of the Shulchan Aruch, is that Yichud only exists if the door is locked. And therefore, if you go to the doctor's office, a woman goes to a male doctor, or a man goes to a female doctor, and the doctor, the examination room is not locked, there's no Yichud. The babysitter or the cleaning lady is in the house and the front door is not locked, it's not Yichud, according to this word that the Rashba inserted in our, that is quoted from the Rashba and is inserted in the parentheses in this line of the Shulchan Aruch. But, life isn't so simple, as you could well imagine. There was a very important conversation between Rabbi Kaveger and the Beis Meir, one of the great poskim of his time and the people with whom Rabbi Kaveger communicated as almost an equal. And both of them agree that Rashba that said that it has to be, the door has to be locked in order to constitute Yichud, is actually a Tanah Sofer. The Bechidushi HaRashba Sham, who says that the door, the locking of the door is what makes it Yichud, and if it's unlocked, it's okay, it's a Tanah Sofer. And really, 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 Ube Emes, Rabbi Kveger, and the Beis Meir, who raises the point to him, both agree, Yichud Havi Afilu below Sigiras Manu. Even if it's not locked, if the door is only closed, even that would constitute Yichud. V'msagro b'manul, and if you locked it with a lock, then it's worse than Yichud, then it could be elevated to the threshold of Davar Mechuar. Oh, wow. You remember what we asked 3 minutes ago, 5 minutes ago? 5 minutes ago I asked, why are you telling me the eighth case of Davar Mechuar is Yichud? I thought Yichud doesn't reach the threshold of Davar Mechuar. Oh, now we know the answer. If we hold that Yichud is Asr, even when the door is closed, and that's all, just closed, that's considered Yichud, that's just Yichud and doesn't Asr a woman. But if the doors are locked, that's worse than Yichud, and then that could be Davar Mechuar, for which we would Asr this woman from ever hanging out with a plumber. So if the plumber comes in and the door is closed behind, the Beis Meir and Rabbi Kaveger say that was Yichud. He shouldn't be closing the door behind the plumber. They should leave the door a little bit ajar. But if she locks the door behind the plumber, ooh, that's not just Yichud. That might be a Davar Mechuar. That's what Rabbi Kaveger wants to say to understand our line of the Shulchan Aruch, to understand the sugya of Davar Mechuar, and also to paskin in the Shaila of Yichud. And therefore, according to Rabbi Kaveger and the Beis Meir that we just learned, closing a door is itself considered Yichud. Now, I have to be honest. Although Rabbi Kveger and the Beis Meir both said that the door have to be locked, that the locked door is a Tanah Sofer. Remember, this? They said this word, which is for the Rashba. There's a Tanah Sofer in the Rashba. and it shouldn't, you don't need to lock a door. I want you to know that the Rashba is not just a Rashba. The Rashba is quoted by the Beis Yosef, and apparently the Beis Yosef didn't think it was a Tov Sofer, because he quoted it saying that Yichud is only if it's actually locked. So Rav Kveger and the Beis Meir say there was a Tov Sofer, but the Beis Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch, 200 years before Rav Kveger was born, did not think it was a Tov Sofer, and understood the Rashba, the way his words say it, to mean that Yichud is only when something is actually locked, but if it's not locked, it's not Yichud. So therefore, when people ask me, I typically say the following, Halach l'mayis rabosai, you have the cleaning lady, do you have to leave your door open or not? So this is what I say, and this is again not Hilchas, what we're doing here, I'm telling you Hilchas Yichud now, just for the fun of it, I'll do that. So when we have a machlokas, whether or not the door has to be locked to constitute Yichud, Rebbe Kveger and Rebbe Meir say it's only Yichud if, I'm sorry, it's Yichud even if the door is unlocked. The Rashba, question if it's a Taz Sofer, the Beis Yosef doesn't think it's a Taz Sofer, seems to have said explicitly that only if the doors are locked. And I'll tell you, there happens to be a Rabbeinu Yonah also, that it's only Yichud if doors are locked. So you really have a Rashba and a Rabbeinu Yonah who both say that it's only Yichud if the doors are locked. You have two Achronim, as great as they are, who aren't convinced that that's what the Rashba means, but that probably is what the Rashba said. And they say, no, even if the doors are closed, it's already Yichud. So I usually say the following, Me'ikr, Me'ikr, Me'ikr Hadin, I think the halacha is that Yichud is even, I'm sorry, that Yichud is only when the doors are locked. But if you're dealing with a Yichud that's De'oraisa, you should be machmir not to even have the doors closed. What's Yichud De'oraisa? Yichud De'oraisa is if it's one man and one woman. Not only that, it's Yichud De'oraisa only if it's one man and one Jewish woman. If it's a non-Jewish woman, it's all Yichud De'rabanan. For Yichud De'rabanan, like with a non-Jewish woman, for example, a cleaning lady who's not Jewish, a babysitter who's not Jewish, Yichud with her is only Yichud Midrabanan. Yichud with a non-Jewish woman is only Midrabanan. And therefore, I feel you can be lenient to rely on the simple reading of the Rashba, that as long as the door is unlocked, it's not Yichud. As long as it's not locked, in order to become Yichud, it has to be locked. It's not locked, it's not Yichud, the way the Rashba said, b'man'ul. However, if you're talking about Yichud that is deraisa, a boy and girl on a date. It's a boy and a girl, one and one. She's Jewish, he's Jewish. That would be Yichud deraisa. A Yichud with a therapist who's a married Jewish woman, or a doctor, a Jewish man, and a Jewish patient, a married woman patient, or a Jewish girl comes in to a male doctor. There, that's Yichud D'oraisa. And there I think you should be machmir. Again, doctors are different, and there are certain additional kulas by doctors which we're not going to get into right now. But there, I think you should be machmir and not rely on Yichud D'oraisa, which is one man and one woman, and the woman is Jewish. You should not rely on saying, oh, the door is not locked. There you should be machmir that Yichud is considered Yichud, even if just the doors are closed. If they're merely closed, you should avoid that situation also. And therefore, halacha l'maisa, if there's a plumber and a married woman in a house, I would consider that Yichud D'oraisa. Married Jewish woman, a Jewish plumber, or even a Goyish plumber, that's Yichud D'oraisa. If it's Yichud D'oraisa, the door shouldn't be closed. The door should be left ajar, propped open and left ajar. If the door is closed, I wouldn't want to do that for an Isur D'oraisa, Yichud D'oraisa. However, if it's a non-Jewish babysitter or a non-Jewish cleaning lady and the husband and the Jewish husband is home, that's only Yichud D'rabanan. And there I think you could be Mekel, so long as the doors are unlocked, it's not considered Yichud. Just leave the door unlocked. That's, I think, how we should come out with halacha l'maisa. That was a little bit of a sidebar, just as far as, that was a little bit of a sidebar, just as far as how to paskin on Hilchos Yichud. Okay, now let's go back to our show. Okay, here we have a fascinating Beis Shmuel. 2 points. First, just to reiterate what we said first, what we've been saying, avaluchu le'alma mishum yichud levad. If it's only yichud, ena asura afil nesiachd l'shem znus. If all there was yichud, and all we know about was yichud, even if they were meyachid to do something inappropriate, but I don't know that anything inappropriate occurred. We don't have edus. We don't have davar mechur. We don't have any indications that something inappropriate happened. Even if they were misyachid for something inappropriate, they're still at that forbidden couple. After she gets divorced, will still be able to marry this guy. Now let me ask you the following question: what happens? Again, it's a little bit explicit. Let me read the words, let us say, use his words. Use the Maharal's Shaila. Again, Shaila of the Maharal. Im ha yishochvim ze al ze, bilavushim. They're fully dressed, but they're yishochvim ze al ze. And they were two witnesses, see them, the married woman and a foreign man, shochvim ze al ze, but wearing clothing. Says the Maharal, kol shalo rao kirav basar, eino ela davar kir. That's not called, that will be considered davar mechur. It is a disgusting thing, and it certainly warrants a davar mechur that if something happens, that if he gets divorced from her, she won't be able to marry that guy. But is that called edeznus? It's not called edeznus. And we won't be able to force this husband to get rid of this wife, since there's no kirav basar. That's only davar mechur. Fine. What happens if there's only one witness that sees this davar mechur or anything? Aval be'echad ein motzi min habal. An eid echad will not cause us to be motzi anybody, a woman, from her baal. Elim kein hotzia baila v'kinsa hanachshad motziim be'echad mehen min hanachshad im ein la bana mimena. What does that mean? That means, I think it's saying, let's say there was, one witness that was davar mechur, and one witness saw them kissing or something. Kissing, not on the Ferris wheel, but kissing as they came out of the basement. And she got divorced from her husband, and she married the guy that she kissed, and he never had children. They haven't had children yet. In such a case, we would say the new husband, the kisser, has to divorce this woman, this married woman who he subsequently took as his own wife, even with one aid. Fine. Let's finish with the following point. No. Be'echad is not talking about an aid echad. It's talking about if there was no kol, I think. I'm sorry. 1 second. Yeah. If you only had a davar mechur without a kol, you won't force them to get divorced unless the new husband doesn't have children. Then you could force them to get divorced if there was only a davar mechur without a kol. Fine. We'll get to eid echad in a minute. What happens if you have something interesting? This girl, this married woman, is a bit promiscuous, but she's very careful to never do anything publicly with her suitor, what's the word? Mr. Bergman, there's a word for the guy that she's hanging around with who's not her husband. Paramour, that was the word I was looking for. Thank you. With the paramour, thank you. So she's very careful to never be seen publicly with him. But one aide once saw her kissing him, coming out of the basement, kissing him. And another aide saw her with him, with the paramour. Let's see, let's pick another one. Another aide in a separate sighting saw her coming out from a bar. They were picking each other up from the well in the middle, in the edge of the city. So you only have one aide who saw this and one aide who saw that. So you don't have, you have one, two aide in total who saw davar mechurs. One aide saw davar mechur C, 3, and one aide saw davar mechur 7. Is that considered that there were two aide who saw davar mechur? Will we combine these two aides? Because, yeah, there were two aides that there was a davar mechur between, this married woman and her paramour. But on the other hand, there's no full aides on any given sighting. So that, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, the Ramah says, we're almost done. Let's finish this up. Shnei Eide Kiur, believe it or not, are mitztarfin. Afal gav dro ze achazeh, v'chiyu dechazahai lo chazahai. It wasn't at the same time. It wasn't even the same inappropriate action, the same davar mechura that they both saw. One saw number three, they were coming out of a well together. One saw number five, that they were kissing each other. But where else do we find this halacha? That you could have an edus that is combined where the two people are not being made of the same thing, and we still, on the same situation, and we still will adopt the edus and consider it together. Where do we find that? We find that in Mamonos. What do you mean? Mamonos is two edim. Let's say there's one ed that says that he owes him $100 because he borrowed on Tuesday. Another ed says he owes $100 because he borrowed Thursday night at, you know, as they were, I don't know, on, you know, at Mincha Ma'ariv. Those two witnesses cited different money borrowings, but they will join together, they will join forces, because they're both saying the same result, that he owes $100. I think we say that halacha by Mamonos. Just like by Mamonos, we say that we're going to say it here too. Even though normally we say, here it is Shnayim, because he saw Davar Mechur A, he saw Davar Mechur B at different times, but they will join to be considered a Davar Mechur. And not only that, look at this. Says a chelkas mechokek, just like shnei edei kiur mitztarfin, near duhadir shnei edei tuma mitztarfin. What? One eid saw tuma, saw znus on Tuesday. Another eid saw znus with this guy on Thursday. They're mitztarif to force her out for the marriage. Avagav the tuma the chazi hai lo chazi hai. Wow. The fiatam, the katsav of Beis Yosef, the mili di isura, the mamon medamilu, that we could compare mamon, the case I described of the loans, could be compared to this. Okay, as we finish up, here we're saying even better. Even if it's not, you're talking about where they saw the same situation from, but there wasn't a complete kat, because they're in different places. Here we're saying, even if they were not two, they were not even joined by the same situation. They were two entirely different situations. One eight saw A, one eight saw something totally different, saw a Z. They still mitztarif. No, we know that it was taught. He knows when it was. He knows exactly what he was talking about. We're not questioning when that is, there was a mismemory. It's possible, but we don't have edus on $200, because you only have one edus on 100, one edus on a different 100. So between the two of them, there's edus at least on 100. Yeah, it could happen twice, but there's no difference between once and twice. Davar Mechur would it be even by once. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay, finally, Eid Echad v'davar Mechur lav klumhu. If there's only one aid and only one aid who cited this davar mechur, whatever any of the eight davar mechur is, one aid sees them coming out of a board together, one aid comes there, sees them kissing as they walked out of the basement, that is not going to be significant. It's not going to impact the marriage. One aid, we don't believe one aid. Fine. Hu adin says the chalkas mechokek, when we finish with this, aid echad betuma love klumah, one aid testifies that she was mezana. We don't trust one aid. What happens if the husband trusts that one aid? The one aid is his Rebbe. A guy's Rebbe says, I have such bad news for you, my Talmud. I saw your wife being mezana with so-and-so. Now, one aid is not believed, but the Talmud believes his Rebbe. So does the Talmud have to divorce his wife because he believes his Rebbe? Okay, that's a different story. That might be. That's a different story. However, the Beis Shmuel says no. Afilum hu mehemen le kebetrei muteres. Afilu nechshad, that if one aid says, even if it's the Rebbe and the person believes his Rebbe, if it's just one aid, you don't have to rely on him. That's the Bechelkas Bechokik says maybe, but the Beis Shmuel says no, you don't have to. Okay, what we're gonna do next time is a shaila that relates to what happens if you have. We've been talking about a davar mechur. What happens if it's a davar mechur, these davar mechurs that we've been speaking of, but she's also found to be pregnant while the husband was not around. So you have a combination of, she has this interaction with other men which is not savory, this unsavory interaction with other men, and her husband was away for a long time, for a year, and she's pregnant. So do we put two and two together, or do we just assume, no, I don't know, she had a long pregnancy, maybe from her husband from a year ago. That, Be'ez Hashem, we will see next Sunday, Be'ez Hashem. In the interim, I wish you all a